Praise the Lord. What? The Spirit of God is up in here today. Yes, you don't feel that, you're dead. Praise God. Been a while since I was in a church that had some life up in it. It's true. You travel every Sunday like I do. Sometimes it's depressing. Not today, amen? Man, it's good to be with you again. Again. Goodness, lots happening, lots going on in my life. Greetings from my wife and family. Our baby now is 18, got a big project today. So senior in high school, and my wife is with her today. And my other daughter is 20. She's at Lee Bible College down in Tennessee. And my son is in grad school, too. So big happenings in our lives. 25 years in Teen Challenge in 2009, and 25 years married in 2009. So big year coming up, big year. I know what you're thinking. How can that guy be married 25 years when he looks like he's only 20? It's amazing. It's good, clean living. You know, it's Holy Ghost living. Amen. Well, briefly, because we really need to, I hate preliminary stuff when the Spirit of God is moving like it has been today. So briefly, we'll just share a request with you. And we are, Teen Challenge, obviously, you'll see our display when you leave. We have been locked in a battle for 18 months with Stafford County, Virginia, to open our new farm, a farm in which I was preaching in a church similar to this. And one man came up and said, "Your dream, I'm the guy that's going to help you get it." And he wrote a check for $1 million to buy a farm. Praise God. I tell you, it was the weirdest thing. I even almost had an attitude that day with the Lord because I drove far. And I thought that I was going to be the main guest speaker. And it was, you know, it was a nice service. And when I got there, I found out that there were 5 missionaries. And that we were all going to get 7 minutes. You know, it was one of those deals. And I was like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." And before anything happened, the pastor of the church, who was a dear friend, pulled me in his office and said, "You have 10 minutes, but I don't want you to talk about what you do at all. I just want you to preach as hard and as fast as you can." And I was like, "All right, well, that's cool." So I was feeling a whole lot better, you know what I mean? No infomercial for Teen Challenge. Just get to go up there and rock the house. And so I did, just mentioning in my sermon that you know, we had mobile homes and that we were really looking to expand. And anyways, the Spirit of God really touched this man, and he did what he said he would do. And that farm out there, pictures, you'll see how beautiful it is, which is only about an hour and a half from here. We're just locked in a horrific battle with Virginia to open. And we are going to be in federal court starting this week. This is a big week for me, y'all. Pray for me tomorrow. Pray for me Tuesday. And especially pray for me Wednesday morning, as I'm going to be deposed for 3 hours by the opposition. We're down to 8-9 weeks, and it's all going to be over. And so we need a victory in federal court. That's the bottom line. Saving lives should not be this hard. That's what we do. We've done nothing wrong. God gave us a farm, and I simply have just said I refuse to give it up. I refuse. You can tell me I can't do it. I'm going to do it anyway. So the bottom line is we're asking the federal government to intervene on our behalf and tell the state of Virginia to work with us. It's just that simple. Work with these people. And so will you pray for the federal judge? We're not exactly sure who we're going to get yet, but we really need a big victory here for the men that we serve and their families and their children and their wives and their parents. Because for every drug addict out there, he touches 25 different people and he hurts them all, but he destroys himself. And so, you know, why we do what we do is to save them, their families, and their seed. Amen. Because every drug addict I ever met, every alcoholic I ever met is special. They have special giftings, and they have been lied to and robbed by the enemy. And I know the answer. Amen. His name is Jesus. Not psychotherapy. It's all right here. It's all right here. It's all right here. And so that's who I am. That's what I do. And, you know, years, literally 6 years of work is culminating in my life in the next 2 months. And you just really need to pray for our ministry. Pray for us. Will you do that? Promise? I don't want your blood. I want your prayers. That's easy. That's easy, okay? Isaiah chapter 9, if you have your Bibles this morning. Let's turn there together and just spend a few minutes in God's Word. Will you stand with me this morning as you grab your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 9? I'll be reading from the New International Version. Father, we just invite your Spirit out. You're already here, but will you permeate us, soak us through and through? Pour out your Spirit on me. Pour out your Spirit on this church today, Lord. Would you just whisper that out to the Lord? Pour out your Spirit on me, Lord. Pour out your Spirit on me, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your Word. Your Word says in the last days, many, many terrible things would happen. But one good one, you're going to pour out your Spirit on all people, on all flesh. And Lord, we need it. We need it bad, Lord. For those that have come to this church dry, like a sponge today, Lord, will you fill them with the Holy Ghost and with fire, purpose and vision. For those that have come to this church just in a backslidden state, so far from you, Lord, draw them to the cross today. Let them get right. Let them make it right, Lord. For the dry bones that have dragged themselves to church this morning, Lord, will you breathe life into those bones in Jesus' name. For those that are sick in body, we pray a miracle in Jesus' name. For those that have come burdened, Lord, with a yoke of bondage and slavery, in Jesus' name we speak life over them and freedom and victory, Lord. We stand on your word and we thank you for Jesus, and he came to set us free. And I pray that every person in this church would leave free indeed. Make us, Lord, hearers of your word today. And make us doers as well, Lord. Anoint our hands and our feet, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord. Don't let us leave the way we came in. Let us be challenged and changed to go deeper in Jesus. Just be with us, Lord, in these next few moments. But let it be life-changing for somebody, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Keep on standing with me, and we're just going to read a few verses together in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we have read in Isaiah chapter 9, there's a description here of a people that, well, started off walking in darkness in verse 2. And ended up in victory. Amen. A light dawned. Something happened to a people that were in a dark place, in a place of bondage. The word used here in the NIV is that they were yoked up. They weren't free. They were yoked up. They were in darkness and yoked up. And somehow we get from that to a people that have been delivered, that are free. Specifically, the yoke that burdens them has been shattered. Praise God. The rod that used to oppress them has been snapped. The bar that was across their shoulders is gone. They're free. They're free. Keep your finger in Isaiah chapter 9 and let's go to the Old Testament, to the book of Judges in chapter 6 and find out exactly what we just read. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, that's exactly what we read. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Judges chapter 6 is the story of Midian's defeat. This is one of those crazy times in Israel's history when they're away. They're up and down, you know what I mean? They're in, they're out, they're yo-yos. They're just too good for wild crash and burn. It depends on what chapter you read. Well, we get our context right away. is in verse 1 of Judges chapter 6. Again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he gave them over to Midian because the power of Midian was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves. God's people now living in shelters. God's blessed, holy, delivered people living in mountain clefts. God's people that were delivered from Egypt living in caves, strongholds, anywhere that they could get a little foothold in the mountains to escape, because the hand of the Midianites was so strong on them that in verse 5, they came up with their livestock and their tents in swarms like locusts. Listen to how the Bible describes this enemy. So impossible to count their numbers. That's how many there were. The Bible says that they were like the sands of the seashore. That many people, that strong of an army. And they invaded the land and they ravaged it. In verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they finally did what they do. They did what we do, right? When we're so impoverished, messed up, right? Come on, when things are going good, we cruise. When things are going bad, here we are, here we are. You can find me right there. Right? Come on. And so the Israelites in verse 1 did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Israelites in verse 6 cried out to the Lord for help. But the Lord is merciful. Amen. I'm glad he never runs out of that. You know, we'd all be in trouble. God is not the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. Right? Some of y'all are like on 10,000. Amen. Come on. You feeling me? Second chance, we'd all be in trouble. Anyways, it was bad. It was real bad. For God's people who are living in so much victory and doing so well to be reduced to living in the cliffs and in caves. The Bible speaks of their harvest time as they worked all year long. And then at the harvest, Midian would come and take everything. Could you imagine working for an entire year? And then right at harvest time, Thanksgiving, they come right in and wipe you out. And that's what it was like. They would come down like a swarm of locusts and just take everything of value and drive God's people up into the mountains. All this because of their sin. But finally, after crying out to the Lord, he heard their cry and he touched somebody named Gideon. Verse 12 of Judges chapter 6. And of course, you know, the Lord speaks to him and says, "You are a mighty warrior." And Gideon says, "But sir, man, if the Lord is with us." In verse 13, how many times have you said this? If the Lord is with me, why is this happening to me? If the Lord is with us, why is this happening? Where are the wonders of our fathers? Where are the things they told us about when he said they brought us out of Egypt, you know? But now the Lord has abandoned us and we are crushed by Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength, because God is about ready to use you in a tremendous way. You, Gideon, are the guy. You are the guy that's going to lead Israel out of Midian's oppressive, depressive hand." And, you know, if you think about this, this is David and Goliath stuff. This is amazing to for Gideon in the natural to accept this. We if you know the story, you know he put out all these fleeces, man. He was like, "God, you sure? You sure? I got to know." And finally, once he's convinced, he musters up enough strength and energy to raise up an army. And he gets 32,000 men. 32,000. That's a good army. I mean, 32,000 against the sands of the seashore isn't much, but it's better than nothing. Better than three, you know? 32,000 powerful army. And I'm sure at this point, Gideon was in his natural mind saying, "I got 32,000. Yes, they have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, but I got 32,000, and that's something. 32,000, me and God is enough." In the natural, I'm sure that's what he was saying. But then the Lord spoke to him and said, "Too many. Too many. Are you kidding me? I'm fighting millions of people here. I got 32,000. What do you mean, too many?" And in summarizing here, Mike Zello version, Judges chapter 7, the Lord says, "Too many. I want you to go to 32,000 men and ask everyone who's afraid to go home." So they had this big meeting. He got his microphone and said, "Everybody who's afraid, go home." 22,000 men went home. like, wow, man. All my confidence. All right, whoever's afraid, go home. 22,000 people went home. They were afraid. So he's got 10,000, and I'm sure he's shaken now, but still confidently thinking, okay, me, 10,000 guys in the Lord, maybe, in the natural now. And then the Lord says, too many. 10,000's too many. I know you're fighting millions of people, but 10,000's too many. And Gideon's like, what? Are you crazy? Yes, but I'm God. So now I want you to go down to the river, and I want you to test them. And everybody who jumps in the river and drinks like a dog, make sure they're thirsty, just sticks their head in there and starts drinking, they go home. But everybody who kneels down and uses their hand and is alert and looks around and laps up the water with their hand, there's your army. Okay, so 10,000 men go to the river thirsty, right? 9,700 men jump in a river like a dog and start drinking it like a dog. 300 men kneeled down and was alert, and the Lord said, there's your boys, there's your 300. Now with me and you and those 300 men, we're going to crush 1 million warriors. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Think about those odds. Now, I don't know how many people were in the army exactly. We know that the word says that their numbers were as the sand of the seashore, that there were so many in their army that you couldn't count, and that there were so many in their army that your eyes couldn't see the beginning or the end of them. There was that many. Okay? Now, 300 is not a whole lot. You take all the women, all the children, all of us, first service, we got 300 people right here. Taking on like the largest army in the world. Those odds, they're not good odds. It's not that right there. If you were betting, you'd say, no way, it's over. They're going to get crushed. They're going to get stomped. But isn't our Lord just like that? I mean, he kept back when Gideon would say, what? 22,000 men went home, trust me. 9,700 went home. I don't want you to think that you did this. I want you to know that I did this. So Gideon, you know, gets his guys, gets them together, comes up with his plan. He's going down the mountain, and he hears these two guys in a tent talking about this dream. And basically, the Lord just gives him a word of confirmation from the enemy. The enemy was scared. The enemy was scared of Gideon, of him and his three. They were actually afraid of him. And he got that confidence, and he knew that God was going to give him victory. Bottom line, Gideon and 300 men, they separated into three groups, 100, 100, 100, and they surrounded Midian at night in the dark. And they lit their torches, and he said, you know, when I give you the word, I want you to scream as loud as you can. I want you to break these jars. I want you to blow your trumpets, and I want you to scream for the sword of the Lord in Gideon. And they did. And they did. And not one of those men were killed. Not one of those men were killed. Not one. Not Gideon, not the 300. And they didn't even have to fight. They didn't even have to do anything. All they had to do was scream. You got to be kidding me. Scream, play the trumpet a little bit. I mean, could you imagine? If I was one of 300, I'd be like, yeah, I'm one of the finals. You know what I mean? I must be bad to the bone. I'm going to go down there. We're going to wipe them out. You know, you're thinking, okay, I made it. I made the cut. You want me to blow a trumpet? Are you kidding me, man? In the end, and I mean, this is a few chapters, if you really want to get into this today. In the end, there was such a commotion and a confusion that basically the Midianites turned on each other. And they mistook each other for the enemy, and they killed each other. Their entire army killed their entire army. I suppose that's what happens when you have too many people in your army. You know, a little bit of division, and everything gets confusing, and one of the greatest victories in all of God's word, 300 men and Gideon get this victory over this vast army. Sometimes the enemy of our lives and our soul, his vastness is overwhelming. You find yourself at the base of this mountain and you look up and you know that in your own strength, there's just no way. You've been there? If you're a human being, you've been there. You know that God's called you to climb this mountain, and you say, what? You got it. What? What? Where did this come from? I thought the Lord was with me. How can we be facing foreclosure? How can I be losing my job? How can we never balance our checkbook? You know, why are we always in debt? Why are we always fighting? Why are we always struggling? I thought the Lord was with us. Sometimes the Lord allows these things in our lives to test us, to make us stronger. I can't wait to hang out with Gideon in heaven someday and ask him what it was like before the battle. In his nerves and all, I know he was probably a wreck. Just wondering, how are we going to do this? How in the world, naturally and logistically, am I going to get 300 men to kill 1 million people? I don't even think if they lined up for us to kill them, we could get it done. We'd be exhausted. How are we going to do this? This is unbelievable. This is crazy. It's mad. It's nuts. It's suicide. And then to just like interview, be like, like a Holy Ghost Bible reporter or something that could interview him right before the battle and then like after the battle, when everything is said and done and this entire army is wiped out, to interview him. It'd be like interviewing David after he killed Goliath, you know, like the before and after. There's an increase of faith that comes with every believer after victory. Amen. When you live this life and you serve the Lord for a period of time, you know, well, this is life. You're either in a trial, right? Just finished a trial, right? Or about ready to go into another trial. That's just, this is the storms of life. You're either in a storm, just finished a storm, or it's raining. You know, it's getting ready to start. Here it comes. And I think the enemy of our soul is good at having us to forget the victories that the Lord has given all of us in our life. We see these mountains in front of us all the time, but we forget about the ones that the Lord has crushed in our past over and over and over again. Isaiah chapter 9, and I want us to go back to this because really this is the beginning. And I know you're thinking, man, this is Christmas time. I love Christmas, and Christmas is what we're all about. Without Christmas, there's no Jesus. This is the celebration of his coming. But this is the roots of what we believe right here, what we're talking about today. It is the root of our belief system as Christians, as born-again Christians. People walking in darkness, they see their light, shadow of death, whole nine yards, they get their victory. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Now, when we read verse 4, it makes a little more sense, right? For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, we get this context of a yoke, a thick yoke, the thickest kind of bondage and burden that a man could ever face, strapping him down. And then we get this picture of the yoke being shattered. And then we keep reading and we find out that a little baby's going to shatter it. Praise the Lord. A little baby's going to shatter it. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. We serve a mighty God today. I don't know about your Jesus, your God, but mine, he shatters yokes. He shatters them. He doesn't just lift them. He shatters them. And I have some guys with me today, and we're busting time, so I'm gonna do it for them. This is Jimmy. This is Adam. In his 50s, in his 20s, both of them I've known for a long time. Both of them are drug addicts. Both of them were alcoholics. Both of them come from terrible backgrounds. Both of them have fathers who are alcoholics. Both of them, neither one of them ever went to church their whole entire lives. Ever. When Adam was 19 years old, he found himself living on the streets in New Jersey, a heroin addict, homeless. Ended up in a homeless shelter at 19. Good-looking kid, smart kid. Ends up a heroin addict, IV user. Wakes up after an overdose one day, and a nurse is standing over top of him, and she's a Christian, and she says, "Young man, you need Jesus. You're going to die. You need Jesus. You're going to die." That's the first time he ever heard, "You need Jesus," from anybody. Up until then, Jesus was a cuss word. Jesus is something just, it meant nothing. And there's so many people living in our world that are like that. It means nothing to them. That's what you say when you get mad. You watch any movie, it's just another cuss word. This woman takes a few minutes and pours into his life and it, you know, tells him about Teen Challenge. Jimmy grows up, ends up getting married, ends up having a family, wife, kid, son. Ends up being a drug addict. It takes control of his life, total control. Loses his wife after 10 years of marriage. Ends up just suicidal. Can't believe the pain of losing his family. Can't believe he's lost his wife. Can't believe he's lost his son. Doesn't know where to turn. Goes to find a job somewhere. A Christian business owner who owned a lumber company hired him and told him about Jesus Christ. For the first time in his life, he learned who Jesus Christ was. Both of those people, the nurse, after saying, "You need Jesus," said, "There's a place called Teen Challenge," to Adam. Jimmy goes to this lumber company, works for a while. They realize he's got serious issues. They pull him in the office one day and say, "Jimmy, there's this place called Teen Challenge, man. You really need to go there." Well, it revolutionized both of their lives, both of them. Both of them are alive today. Both of them should be dead today. Both of the men in your church, yes. If you could see a picture taken 10, 15 years ago of either one of them, probably 5 years ago for Adam, you would see maniacs, literally, just psychos, just guys living, just existing, no semblance of life, no joy, no happiness, no peace, simply living like an animal from day to day, existing as a human being, completely miserable with no purpose. And to see today where they are and to know where I know where they both are personally and what the Lord has done. For hours and hours, they could stand up here and explain to you how thick the yoke was. But I'm going to tell you, it was thick. It's pretty thick. It can get thick. Amen. The yoke can get thick. And to know today that the yoke has been shattered for both of them because of a baby. Not because of Teen Challenge, but because of a baby. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. My entire life I have seen drug addicts completely delivered at the name of this baby. Totally delivered. I've seen people healed. I've seen people come back practically from death, dying of HIV, AIDS, double pneumonia. One man had double pneumonia, HIV, AIDS was complete. When I went in to see him, he's a Teen Challenge graduate. They made me put on gloves, a mask, whole nine yards. This is back in the 80s. And the doctors told me he'll be dead in less than 30 days. 10 years later, he was still alive, had two more children with his wife, and they had no AIDS. None. Gone. Completely gone. Completely gone. Zippo. There are things in life, the older you get, the more you understand that there are things in life that make no sense. None. None. You know, we go to school, grammar school, when we're young, we learn that 2 plus 2 equals 4. And all through our lives, we know that there's this law of sowing and reaping, and there are a lot of things that do make sense. But sometimes 2 plus 2 equals 5. There are some things in life that make no sense. I have no clue why my daughter's very dear friend was killed last month in a car accident. I, senior in high school, loved Jesus, been on mission trips her whole life, on her way to a Christian concert, lost control of her car, was killed instantly. I have no clue. Some things make sense. Some things make no sense. But this one thing makes more sense than anything I've ever heard in my life. That every person that has ever been born, that ever will be born, is yoked up. And the older you get, you understand how thick the yoke can be. We're all yoked up. We're all born in sin. All of us. We're all sinners. The best righteousness in this room is a filthy rag righteousness. But there was this God who loved us so much that he thought this idea up to make his son become a little baby and send him to earth so that you and I can have that yoke explode. Praise God. I don't know how it works. I honestly have never understood totally how it works, how this God loved me so much that he would do this, why Jesus would come to earth. All I can surmise is that he loves me. He loves me. He loves you. And there's nothing worse than to see God's people still yoked up. God's people who come to church every Sunday still yoked up. Come in yoked, leave yoked. Jesus came. You look at your Christmas tree from now to the rest of the year and understand this. The greatest gift of all is his son. And he came for one reason, to shatter your yoke. Your yoke. Amen. Come on, stand up with me this morning and let's just look to the Lord. And would you bow your heads where you are? Just no one looking around here. Just you and the Lord now. Just you and the Lord. Please, nobody leave. I promise you this will not be a long, drawn-out thing. Nobody leave now. Spirit of the living God, we thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name, Jesus. We thank you for coming and living on this earth, Lord. I thank you, Lord. The greatest gift of all is you, Jesus. It's you. We acknowledge today. We thank you, Lord, for this gift. We accept this gift. We love you, Jesus. We embrace you. You are a great God. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're here today and you're yoked up. I don't care if it's cigarettes. I don't care if it's alcohol. I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care what it is. You're yoked up. And you know what I mean. There's stuff in your life that doesn't belong. It's still bonding you, pulling you down. And the Lord wants to shatter the yoke that burdens you. You came to this church today burdened by a yoke. It may be a sickness in your body. It may be disease. Who knows? God knows and you know. But understand this. The word of the Lord for you today is very simple. This baby came to shatter your yoke. And he wants you to be free. There's enough power in that baby to make you free. Hallelujah. Father, will you just come now? Will you just come as we're all standing here praying in your house and shatter the yoke that burdens us? We pray for every person in this house yoked up. If you're yoked up right now, just pray right now and say, Lord Jesus, shatter my yoke. Shatter my yoke. Make your people free, Lord. I pray the freedom of Jesus Christ, the same God that delivered Gideon, Midian's hands and just exploded that whole army in one moment. The same victory that we just read about. Give it to us, Lord. Give it to us. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. I pray, God, for those that are here in this house need a miracle. I thank you that there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. There are people in this room that are facing certain death, Lord, with sickness and disease, just so much trouble. The mountain before them is large. It's looming. We pray the power of Jesus Christ. We speak the name of Jesus and we pray for a miracle, Lord. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing too hard for our God. And we speak to that mountain in Jesus' name and we say, be moved. We pray for total, complete victory for those that are in the battle now, facing many, many, many giants, facing this vast army. Lord, will you surround them with the Spirit of God, with angels? Give them victory, Lord. For those walking in the deepest storm today, give them victory, Lord. Let this Christmas season for all of us be one of total victory. For that, we will bless your name, Lord. And for that, we will bless your name. Thank you for all the victories, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for all the victories, Lord. Thank you for where you brought me from to where you brought me to, Lord. I bless your name, Lord. We've come a long way. Some of us have come a long way from where we used to be. And we acknowledge, Lord, today that it is you who have done it. It's you who have done it. We haven't done anything. You are the God of miracles. You are the God of deliverance, Lord. You're the God who opens doors. You're the God who closes doors. You've had your hand on me, Jesus. And I bless your name, Lord. I bless your name. You've been good to me, Lord. You carried me through many storms, many giants, many, 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 many mountains, Lord. And you're going to carry me through this one, Lord. I just pray victory for my brothers and sisters today in this house. Give us victory, Lord. Give us victory. Let there be testimonies that will go forth from this service, Lord, where people said, I don't have much, but I'm going to stand on a word today and believe that this baby is going to make a difference in my life. We pray for everyone in this country, Lord, that is still bound, still doesn't know who Jesus is. Lord, we're still living in a dark land. It's still real dark here, Lord. We need more light. Will you light us up in this Christmas season? Let us all be lit up. That as we leave this house into a dark land, Lord, we will be light in darkness. That people will see in us a baby. That people will look at us and say, there's a baby. There's something different about them. We have an opportunity, Lord. We got 3 weeks. Please help us, Lord, to spread this message, why this baby came. We pray for our country, thick, yoked up, Lord. What a yoked up country we live in, Lord. It's unacceptable to us. It's unacceptable, Lord. Please help us to be light and to share this message. You don't have to go through this life yoked up, bound up. You can live. You can have a real life. Will you anoint all of us here? Anoint us, Lord, that we will be Holy Ghost soldiers, warriors, that will be unafraid to speak forth the truth to this hurting world. Please help us, Jesus. Please help us now, Lord. Let there be a double portion of your Spirit to fall and rest on each of us now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord bless you all. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand, will you?